It just goes, yeah, ma'am, no, take a break. And that happened to me once. It literally says, you've been liking for too long. Take a break.
You've been watching too much TikTok. It's like the Netflix. Are you alive
still?
Yeah,
pretty much. But now I have to limit my TikTok time if I want to keep using it.
I hit my recorder because I just realized I don't have an intro for the computer club. Do you want to help me do an intro?
And we're making jokes about, are you alive, man?
Are you alive, man?
Are you good, man? I get it. You're crying if you watch like 3 seasons of like The Bachelorette. But please, man, are you good?
Yeah, well, you're comparing it to SpongeBob.
I know.
Because Netflix just asked us if we watch too much SpongeBob. Like we're hurting ourselves with SpongeBob.
Like, come on, man, you're crying. You have, get up, take a bath. You have Cheeto dust all over you.
Right, walk around.
Come on, go outside. Go socialize for a bit, please. There's bags on your eyes. It's been 3 days. Go to bed.
Don't you know enough is enough?
Come on, they should have an option that if you've been up for too long, the Netflix just completely shuts off.
You're done. You're cut off.
It's a black screen and this white text that goes, go to bed.
That's right. You're cut off. Turns your whole smart house off. Go to bed now.
Clap on. Clap off.
That's the clapper. The clapper of life. That's God telling you to go to bed.
That's God when it's nighttime. Goodbye, guys. Go to bed.
Awesome.
It all goes the night. The moon comes up.
The almighty clapper.
Oh, turn the rain.
Turn off the rain.
The way he created Adam and Eve. Boom, they appeared. So he made all his miracles with a nice clap.
It's always a joy talking to you, but the reason I'm recording is for our intro.
This is our intro right here, the clap on, clap off.
The clap on, clap off
intro. The real way God makes his miracles. He has a roulette wheel. What will happen today? Rain! Ding, 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 ding. Thunderstorm.
This is the intro for the Computer Club, San Carlos Computer Club, from May 25th, 2021. I am Scott Stimson, your host.
And I'm God.
Also known as Viviana. And we're here to say, tech on!
Tech on!
And we'll talk to you next Tuesday.
And this is the end!
Okay, can you hear me now?
I can hear you fine.
Okay.
I'm gonna prove.
The conundrum is that your internet speed is.
Your internet speed. And the question is. Wait,
PN is not supposed to affect the speed. Is that correct?
That's a tough one because your VPN, by its very nature, uses more internet than without. By its very nature.
It should be.
What ExpressVPN has done recently is that they have rebuilt a VPN, a proprietary VPN protocol for ExpressVPN, for solely ExpressVPN, that is its own in-house way of routing traffic. And they purport to be getting better bandwidths with this than with your traditional encryption model.
Okay, here we go. When I have my VPN running on this machine, I get max 20 to 30 MPS, megabits per second. If I take the VPN off, I get up to 200 megabits per second.
Yeah, that seems reasonable.
That's reasonable?
Yeah, I mean, that sounds like how it would happen, because you're only as fast as the weakest link in your chain. You can only go as fast as the slowest router they go. And if you're routing all your traffic to one endpoint, then it could be a
ExpressVPN can't guarantee more than 30 megabits between where you are and where it is.
Okay, so but that's a factor of 10.
Yes, yeah. But I wouldn't be surprised by it.
Okay, so...
And in fact, that would be a VPN selling point, would be we can guarantee you X megabits per second.
I see. Okay. So I've been playing with it ever since I got the wireless adapters. I've been playing with it. On my Linux machine, what I'm using to compare is Netflix Fast.
Netflix Fast?
Well, Netflix has their own little speed calculator, and it's called Fast, F-A-S-T.
Oh, okay.
All right. And I run on the Linux
machine. Wait a second. Wait. Don't get too far away. I don't know what that is. Netflix.com/fast?
Hi, Linda. Fast.com will find it.
Fast.com, but it's Netflix.
Yep, yeah, it's by Net. They're the ones who, it must be theirs.
See, I like showing up for Computer Club when people show up and look at that. I had no idea that was out.
Wow, no charge.
That is very cool. And it looks like I have a really slow connection.
Yeah, that's okay. And mine right now.
That's probably all right. I guess that's all right.
I'm running.
Mine is
that's using. That is using Juan's connection. If I what I testing with is speedtest.net, or I like doing Telmex has integrated the API from speedtest.net in their website, and so whenever I'm dealing with Telmex, I like show them the numbers they're telling us to look.
Right. Well, if I run through the terminal on the Linux, and it's fast, and I believe it's the same. It's the same whatever, and I get almost always 150 megabit per second.
Okay. Well, it doesn't. I mean, if that answers your question, it doesn't surprise me that using a VPN would drop your rates. How fast your internet?
Really?
I mean, even to that extent. In fact, the VPN provider, depending on what contract you have, may be limiting how much bandwidth you get to them, so that they can guarantee a certain amount of bandwidth to everyone.
Well, I can query them and ask them what they're doing, I guess. I always assume it's something I'm doing wrong.
How are you doing, Linda? Good to see you.
Really good.
At the same time.
I joined the Apple world, and I bought an Apple tablet.
Nice. One of those iPads, the 429?
I bought, the one at Costco.
That's exciting. You'll have to join us on that equipment so we can evaluate. Right now, you're coming in great. Are you on a laptop?
Yeah, I'm on my Windows 10 laptop.
Yeah, you're coming through at a really high quality. You sound pretty good. There's no background noise.
Well, what do I have to go to on my tablet?
You'd have to install the Google Meet app.
Oh, okay. All right.
And then you would use your regular Google account. Get in.
Okay, so can I be stupid?
Apple
didn't
sure.
always have the Google?
Say that again?
Apple didn't always have Google?
Well, I think Apple has had a deal with Google for as long as they've needed search, because Apple's never had good search. And so I think Google still powers many of the search features in the background of Apple product.
Oh, okay.
They've always maintained a relationship because they don't do good search. They never have.
Oh, okay. What's your meeting code?
Hold on a second. I'm switching microphones again.
Okay.
Testing. 1, 2. Testing. Am I sounding any better? Any clearer?
Yeah, you sound awesome.
Oh, thanks. You just set off the podcast. This is the day. Listen to that, folks. I sound awesome. Awesome Scott coming at you this morning from the San Carlos Computer Club.
Scott Stimson is awesome. How's that?
There you go. I'm going to clip that audio. I'm going to play it every morning. Not just at the beginning of the Computer Club. I'm just going to start my day with that, Bill.
He's on.
Oh, you're on.
Now she has to kill Mike.
There you go. Oh, hey, that is an awesome comparison between your technologies. Look at that. We can see her on both sides. We need a way to identify which Linda we're talking to. Linda, the one that's muted, which equipment is the one that's muted?
That help.
Yeah. So, Linda, what I want you to do, you've got both still running. We can see two pictures of you, and they're obviously two different feeds. What I want you to do is just turn down the speakers of one of your devices. Oh, now you only have one device.
Okay.
So all that echoing was happening because you had two sound sources of the same on the one microphone. You muted one microphone, but it was still picking up the two different speakers. And so if you mute the other speakers, then we can actually see you you side by side and make a comparison in the quality of your experience on our end. It was just fascinating to look at how your video was being produced on both pieces of equipment side by side. If you're signed in and you're subscribed to the calendar event, it should just pop up right there as a meeting that you're involved in.
Well, I'm turning the Apple back on now. The other thing I didn't like about it, on the Samsung, it has a back button and it has a where they're all the open things are. Here you got to use three fingers and you got to keep doing it until they finally come up.
Hey, just a quick note. I'm opening us up on the feed, so this will be a live feed.
Okay, it opened without me putting the code in.
It remembered it.
Okay, all right, I'm on the tablet now.
Hey, Fred, we're already live on air, just to let you know. We aren't officially starting for another 5 minutes, but I just went ahead and opened up the feed.
Coming to San Carlos next week.
Oh, excellent.
I wish I was there today to see the big sailing ship. And is that where all of San Carlos people will be? Judy and Paul?
I think Judy's left.
Oh, is Judy not in San Carlos?
I think she went to Colorado. I haven't seen her at all.
I know the boat, going back to the boat, that's where my family is going to be this morning. Yuya is taking the kids. They're both, Emily's on summer vacation and Bibi's got a day off from school today. So the three of them are going to go check it out. I think they're going out to the boat when it's in the water. They're going to watch the boat do activities from another boat.
Oh, are they? Oh, so they must be down there already.
Yeah. Well, they're on their way right now. If they're not walking out the door, they're doing it right this moment. If they haven't already walked out the door, they're doing it right. So what was our, it's hitting 10 o'clock. So let's be formalize a little bit. I see another friend has joined the meeting. Hi, Lynn. It's nice to have you with us. This is the San Carlos Computer Club. We meet every Tuesday about 10 o'clock and anyone is welcome to join us. Some of us jump on this a little early to help me test volumes and streams to make sure everything's working. And I've already turned on the YouTube stream. So keep in mind, all this is on public record. So behave yourself. I don't know why we got an R rating that last time. I think somebody took their pants off when I wasn't looking. But it's great to have you guys here. Like I said, I'm Scott from International Computer Solutions. If you got a problem out there on the internet, I can probably reach out remotely and help you with it. Just get a hold of me, remote@internationalcs.net. I'll plug anything. If you guys got anything you think we need to know about, please let us know. We do recommendations during our meeting. And so if you got a website, a book, a podcast, movie, or TV show you guys think other people would enjoy, please share it with us when we're doing recommendations. And I want to just quickly say that I've made an account with track.tv for the San Carlos Computer Club, and there is a recommendations list. I have that link to share with you guys today. Last week, I had put a list on my own personal account and immediately found that too limiting. And so I created an account specifically for the San Carlos Computer Club, and I will stick it in our chat meeting. I also posted it on the website too and on Facebook's Facebook page. So if you're looking for that, you don't need a track account. You can go to it anonymously and just look at a list of all the recommendations we've made in this club over the last, during the COVID, for some reason.
I went and looked at it. So you're right. I can see it and everything, but I was thinking of commenting or doing something, and I have to have some sort of an account.
That you definitely need. You need an account.
Track account? What is it?
Mm-hmm. They're free. You can sign up for them. We've talked about them quite a bit in the past. The real power of the track account is being able to integrate it into a player that you're using, like Kodi or Streamio or one of these things that would allow you. It's called scrobbling. I think that's right. Scrobbling. Now I'm going to have to Wikipedia that word. But what it does is it just keeps track of what you're watching.
So it's not an app. It is an actual website?
Track is a website and an app.
If I create an account, you're going to track what I'm watching, but doesn't it have to be created on a certain device?
What you would do is similar to your email. You would have an account with a website, and then you would sign into that account using an app. application. Okay. So you would have something like you would be using Streamio and you would attach that to your track account, or you would use Kodi and you would attach one of the plugins to your, or all your plugins to your track account.
I've got my Fire Stick TV, a Fire Stick on the TV.
I watch
Streamio on it. I watch Disney Plus on it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the device.
Right. The Streamio program, the Android program, we would have to double check. I don't think, at least the version of Streamio I'm using on my Android device does not allow me to connect to Track without having a Streamio account. So if you have a Streamio account, I believe that you can connect it to Track. The Windows 10 version of Streamio, you can connect Track just by authorizing it on Track. To give you an idea, and I think we covered some of it on the Kodi, is that what it would do is it would give you an activation code for Track. And then you go to the Track website, it would be TrackTV/activate, and you'd put in that code and it would attach your media program or media device to your Track. Really, I mean, we're a little off topic because I was mentioning is that if you're looking for all the recommendations, and I finally found the link, you're seeing it on the screen there, and I'm going to paste it into the chat room now, and it's also on the website. You can go, and this is a list of all the TV and shows that we've been talking about in Club. I am still always looking for the ideal solution. This is not the ideal solution, but at the very least, if you're wondering what I should watch next and you're thinking about something we might have talked about, you can come to this page. It's up to date as of the last Club meeting. I'm motioning like this is still on the page. So you'll see a bunch of titles here that are all related, and I'll continue to list them in the blog posts that get up on sccclub.org. I'll put them in this list here so that you guys can find them very quickly and easily. One of the neat things about Track as well is you can click into one of these items and it will tell you where you can find it as far as a streaming service. It's got this watch now underneath and it shows you all the services where you can find that movie. In this case, it's only listing Netflix. This particular movie, I think, was made specifically for Netflix.
Okay, so look up Nomadland and see if you can find it.
Well, I actually put Nomadland in the list. Are you looking for a place to watch it? Is that why you ask? It says zero services.
Yeah, you have to pay.
Why is that? Where is it? You have to buy it from Amazon Prime? Is that where you watch it?
I watched it.
That's where you have to buy it from. Amazon Prime, I think it's $5.
Where did you? We've already watched it. I'm sure I didn't buy it. I'm sure I used something like Streamio.
I used Streamio because I watched it. No one can pay anything for it.
I should qualify that. I know I fell asleep in it. My wife watched it. She said it was an awesome movie.
I believe her.
She's got good taste.
It was very slow and it was very interesting. And I can see why it won an Oscar, but it is very, very, very slow, and it's not an action movie at all. It's real life, and it's depressing real life. It's not motivational or inspirational or any of those categories. It's basically, I called it reality TV, but that has a whole different connotation. This was actually her life and living in a desert and living in a little trailer.
Yeah, I heard all that. Fabulous. Hey, Jim, welcome.
In Western Arizona.
Yeah.
You know, it was really interesting, Linda, because it was places that we've driven through, like Quartzsite and the Great Basin Highway in Nevada. So the scenery and the people that were living in this community and their approach to strangers and everything was very, very, very interesting.
Huh. Well, you know, Fargo was kind of like that too. That's the Coen brothers.
Yeah. I mean, they really pushed it. What is it I'm thinking of? Extreme normality, like a normality, but to the very extreme, dealing with extreme situations with just normal people in a normal place, having normal conversations. But there's a murder. There's a wood chipper.
You're talking about Fargo.
Yeah, I am. Whereas this Nomad's Land was not shocking any other than the actual reality of this is very true to form. This is the world we're living in now. Or so I'm told, because I fell asleep in.
We like the thrillers. So, you know, some of these movies we don't like, and we don't like stuff that's out there, like science fiction.
Oh,
like science fiction. Some of us really like science fiction, Linda.
Sorry, Linda, some of us.
I hope you guys brought some topics. I've got a bunch of topics. I do have some follow-up stuff that I thought you guys would find interesting. I spent some real time working with Amazon Photos Unlimited Storage, and it's so far it's kind of cool. It's lacking an app. They have an app that you download, and the app, even the app itself, says it's Amazon Photos, but then it titles itself Amazon Backup. Oh, here comes Jim. But it wasn't that difficult to install the app and point it at my photos and start sending them up. Hey, Chester. Hey, Jim. Glad you guys could join us. I was just talking about last week, we had talked about Amazon Photo Storage. They're offering unlimited, full quality photo storage for Amazon Prime members. And they offer you 5 gigabytes of space for video. And I found it very easy to install and configure the app to point at my photos folder. Took a while to get them up there. I think it took almost 24 hours to get all the photos up there. Well, in my waiting, if I disappear for a moment, I may be rebooting this computer.
Yeah, it's an easy app to use, and you can search, like I search for mountains or camping, and I can put them so that they rotate, and the size of the shape of the puzzles and everything.
I have been trying to beat the Google photo deadline.
Yes.
And
yes.
Move photos up in it. And it is one of the most frustrating projects in my life. there is no way that I can see to reasonably organize these things. Like the files I have down here are listed in folders by date and a name. Okay? And to get that into Google Photos is you have to create a folder, then you have to name the folder, and then to try to search for something once you've got it in there is just as frustrating. Like, I don't know. I'll put them in there, but I doubt if I'll ever get them back out in any form that I recognize. And like, anytime you look at it, there's just a whole mess of pictures there that really doesn't have any organization to it. You can't sort them the way you want, unless you want to sort them by a face. You want to do a facial recognition. Well, I want to look at the motorcycle picture that Cheryl and I took in 2017. We took our photo albums, all our photos, and had them scanned in by a service, and you get the date they were scanned. Well, I don't know. I've scanned in, or I've moved in to folders named after the folders that I have in the scanned area on the computer, and then try to search for just that album is a nightmare. Let's just leave it at it is a very frustrating situation. It just does. I just don't really. Maybe I'm doing this wrong. Maybe. The problem being that I've known since, the beginning of the year or earlier, that Google is going to cap their limit. And I'm down to the last 6 days or 5 days.
Right,
to get it.
Right.
So Amazon says, oh, shit, you're okay. You can have all the time you want. I'll never do it. Now, here's the other question. If I have everything loaded into Google, can I move it over to Amazon reasonably easy? Or do I have to push them all back into Amazon from my computer again?
I think you still I don't think there's any kind of tie-in between cloud services
like that. Which would be an interesting thing.
I wonder if in the interest of competition, the United States could get into regulation like that.
We have that with the phone company where they have to pass your phone number around.
If you don't like Sprint,
your phone number is part of your identification. You should be allowed to move it from one network to the other.
And I think that's pretty seamless these days.
But in the cloud space, I don't know of any.
I mean, maybe there's some third parties out there making money, charging you to take on that burden of moving your data from one service to another.
The only way I know is a surefire way is you download it to a local computer and then re-upload it to the other service. I haven't seen anything that's tying these services together.
It's an interesting
Google search. We should find out if anybody's doing that and if it's required.
I'll take it as my homework assignment to see if I can look that up.
Hey, that would be awesome.
Because not only is that like a niche business opportunity,
but it might be a political thing too.
It might be just like your phone number. You should be able to move your data around the cloud as conveniently as possible. Maybe that's something that needs to be guaranteed through regulation.
Well, I can just imagine what a scrambled mess it would be if they did even know. It would be even more obscure.
Well, technically, we've got to be very close to making that sort of thing easy.
And I think some of this stuff, when it's common sense and it's easy,
may be ripe for that kind of regulation. You look at what had to happen to get everybody on page with the European Union and their rules of privacy. How they require that a service is able to provide you with the data they've collected on you at any given moment
and be able to erase that data upon your request.
It changed the industry online. Everywhere you go now, you can get a packet of all your data. You can see everything that they have on you. And you can request to have it wiped out at any moment.
So, Scott, you said that it took you about 24 hours to upload all your photos to Amazon Photo. If you could just explain that process a little bit to me. And then you also just said that it killed your whole computer system. So I went to it last Tuesday during the meeting, and I then copied the request to subscribe and sent it to all my friends on Messenger, including James's wife, Carolyn, and Jim Cunningham. And I sent it to them and asked them to please subscribe. So I don't know if they did.
I was going to say this is turning into Cheryl's calling you out segment. But I really appreciate it. I just want to put a pretty name on the channel. Right now the channel name is something ridiculous. That's the reason I made a hyperlink to it. In fact, I don't know if you can see the channel name is youtube.com/channel/UCSTD in capitals and then JMK in lowercase and then UD in uppercase and OV in lowercase. I'm not going to finish it. It's just not. That's why I made YouTube.sccclub.org so that you can find it easily enough. But what I really want is I want to be able to say YouTube.com/San Carlos Computer Club. That's out of the way. That's off my to-do list for today.
Okay, I got a quick comment.
Yes, sir.
That picture that Paul Gregory's got there. Well, he moved. Sit down, Paul. The picture he's got there, does that remind you of Johnny Depp as Tonto in The Lone Ranger?
No.
Reminded me of for a long time. I finally figured it out.
Paul's headdress.
Yeah.
I don't want to go this way too much. I'll get hurt.
Hey, I also had another follow-up from last week.
We were doing some network diagnostics last week.
Some weird stuff going on when I was using the NS lookup program.
I don't know if you remember, but it was bringing up these strange... I would use NS lookup for CNN.com.
And it would bring up this really like CNN.destaco.com.
CNN.destaco.com. This is a picture from an app that you use called IPconfig at the command prompt. When I would use NS lookup for CNN.com, it would change it to CNN.destaco.com and it would look up an address that's incorrect.
And it caught me off guard.
We were in the middle of this thing and my computer was spitting me back. Literally, through DNS, redirecting me.
When we got done with the meeting, the first thing I did was start looking for a virus.
If you diagnose network problems, I stumble across something that looks really suspicious. My first thought is, I've got a virus in my computer and it's redirecting me.
And so I start checking my virus logs, running virus scans, running malware bytes.
I'm not finding this. Everything about my computer is looking clean.
So I start trying to describe this problem
on Google.
And I come across
an issue
that I was able to verify
by using this IP config command that you see on my screen here.
At the command prompt
with the greater than sign, it shows IPconfig slash all,
and it brought up pages of information.
But right at the top, you'll see this ENS suffix on my screen,
and you look over and you see this whole list of domains,
and there shouldn't be anything there. It should be empty.
If I bring up a command prompt right now, I'll show you what it's supposed to look like. IPconfig all.
See, it brings up pages of information.
But if we go up here,
well, it's not even there. It's not even there because it's supposed to be blank because there's not supposed to be anything in there. There isn't supposed to be, by default, a suffix to look up,
like shows in this picture,
this ENS suffix search. This shouldn't exist. So through some more searches,
I discovered that this is a setting,
and it's probably been in my computer for a couple of years now.
I recognize all these domains as being from a Makila I used to do work with.
And I suspect I either loaded them at one time or I ran one of their utilities that loaded them at one time because I was using my computer on their network.
And by having these suffixes here,
this is where you find them. You find them in your internet settings under your TCPI settings, TCPIP settings.
Under the DNS settings, append these DNS suffixes.
And this is totally what a virus will do, or a malware will do, is it will run a script that will come in here and put this kind of activity in here.
And what this means is that every time you go to look up an address,
it's going to add this suffix to it first. So if I look up CNN.com, the first thing it's going to do, it's going to append CNN.com,
CNN.com/dover-global.net
from this example. If you see that on my screen.
It's just going to add it to the end of it.
So no matter what my DNS is,
it's going to look it up with this on the end of it.
If this is on the end of it, the first thing your DNS does is it sends it over to that DNS.
So if this is in your computer,
if you've got something like this change, you risk the possibility of using an address that a malicious program out there is looking for.
And it redirects you over to their DNS.
So it could grab that CNN.com and point it to something else.
This, I think, was legitimate because of work that I've done.
But this same technique can be very malicious.
And so where this is by default, this isn't checked.
It's append primary connection specific DNS suffixes.
So this box, or this radio button above it, should be what's checked by default.
There should be nothing in here.
But it's one of the ways that you can get compromised, and it's what caught me off guard
when I was trying to show you the NS lookup command,
which is available on Mac as well as PC.
And it should look like this when we do a CNN lookup.
We should get a quick response.
It should show us all the addresses that are attached to that name. It shouldn't be looking up any other addresses.
So if I was going to do an NS lookup, I could use NS lookup to find out Telmex's information.
There's its main address there.
You can do some fairly sophisticated stuff in here, like you could list the domain.
Oh, it won't let me do it because I don't have permission. I used yours.
Anyway, at this juncture,
the most important thing to me is for you to be aware of that domain suffix addition that can be added by taking it off.
What I've done is I've sped up the amount of time it takes to look up a name
because it doesn't get transferred over to a DNS. It's not failing on those DNS servers.
And so it's sped up how long it takes for
a reaction time when I click on a link.
But it had to have been sitting in there for two years
because I haven't worked for that organization in a long time.
So that's just follow up from last week's meeting in that respect.
That's another good example of why you ought to do a reset to your computer every year.
It's not a bad suggestion.
And the way Windows 10 is built,
it's not too hard, especially with these cloud services now. It's not too hard to have a backup of your data and just refresh your computer.
A real trick with Windows 10 is that if you actually use only Windows 10 store apps,
then it will just, with a good internet connection, it's not a big deal to refresh it.
You buy right into the Microsoft ecosystem.
You could be signing in with your Microsoft account computer. All your settings are supposed to be coming back to it.
Your apps should reinstall themselves.
You may have to authorize it, but your list of apps is right there in the store. And if you're in the cloud, then your data is there as well.
But you're right about the refreshing.
What's frustrating about that, depending on how they were added to my network adapter, I suspect that would have been across any other usernames or a new username
would have adopted those settings.
So even deleting, creating a new user profile on the Windows 10 computer, I don't believe would have resolved that problem. Look at that. I just realized I had two microphones. No effect on you guys, just the recording. Jim, how's your internet connection? I'm sorry, Jim Cunningham. You were telling us about issues with your Wi-Fi 2 weeks ago, the Nextlight Wi-Fi and your internet provider. Did you ever get all that resolved?
Yeah, I finally did. It turned out it was a problem with the provider. Got on the phone with them, and they helped me walk through it, and it's fairly easy to fix. But it did require ultimately rebooting the whole system again.
Okay. But you look great now, and you sound good, so it looks like your internet's flying.
I think it's fine now, yeah.
Awesome. Well, that was just something I wanted to check on.
Well, thank you.
And I keep waiting for Judy to come back because she was the one with the calendar issues. So if anybody talks to Judy, I got her solution with the calendar. What were you going to say, Dave?
I've been having trouble with my fiber optic connection starting maybe 2 or 3 days ago. We've only been in town a week. Do you have the correct phone number for Telmex these days?
No, but I do have a phone number that's associated with fiber optic, but it didn't seem to make any difference. I felt like I called Telmex on their regular 800 number, but they do have a number that they say is direct to their fiber. I can give you that.
Okay.
It's 1-800-123-5454. Note the difference. The standard internet number is 2222, and the number for fiber is 5454, or so they say. Okay. I've been getting text messages about fiber, and this is the 800 number that they associate with it. And I talked to people about fiber on the phone last week, and this is the number they gave
me. Thanks. I just need to check because my fiber connection has really been pretty bad.
Okay, speaking of fiber optics in San Carlos, there's some talk about it at Tecolai too. They're doing something around there. There's been some engineers around looking at the place.
Well, that would be awesome. I talked to two guys just last week. They came and looked at my block. There's fiber optics three streets away from me, and they made it very clear to me there's no plans of installing any new fiber. There are plans, but there's no one setting up to install fiber. They've got blueprints, but there's nobody that's working on any active projects to install new fiber.
Oh, yeah.
So I hope that like specific locations like that, they're pushing forward on some of these projects. But he couldn't tell me of any place that they were installing new fiber.
Chances are it just goes right by on the road in front of us, you know?
If that's the case, then that's the kind of project that they would push forward with. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. If it's already there, like there is no chance they're going to bring fiber down my street. In fact, we're talking about dragging it from three streets away.
No, it's right on the highway. So that's the advantage there.
That's awesome. Yeah. I hope we hear more about that because Loma del Mar could really use that. Their internet infrastructure is frustrating.
But again, then you're mile or more off the highway.
What else do we got for topic?
I got a question for you.
Sure. Go ahead.
I'm having problems with LastPass. I want to reload it, but I don't want to lose all my information.
You want to reload it, but you don't want to lose all your information?
Well,
they do have an export feature. I have not done it myself, but I always assumed I could just export it into a CSV file and then import it again. Okay. While we're talking,
I didn't even do an export it and just reloaded it and everything was still there fine.
Well, are you talking about setting up a new account or just installing the app again?
I just reinstalled the app in my case.
Fred, what was it you were trying to
do? No, I'm trying to, right now my LastPass doesn't pick up passwords, so there's a problem someplace.
Okay. Well, yeah, no, like Dave said, if you just uninstall the app and reinstall and log into it, that sounds like a broken app.
No, you know they got hacked.
What, recently?
Yes, I took it.
Like, how recent have they been hacked?
I'd say within 2 months.
I wonder why we didn't talk about that. Because it's a cloud service, Fred, you should be able to uninstall the app and just sign back into it when you install it again.
Okay.
Yeah, there shouldn't be any concern for losing.
I'll give it a shot.
What else do we have here? Did you guys see that Amazon's trying to buy MGM?
I heard that.
Yeah. What do you think of it, Scott?
Oh, it's Amazon's such a bizarre company. What are they own the Wall Street, is it the Wall Street Journal they own?
Washington Post.
Maybe. Oh, the Washington Post, that's it. I think Jeff Bezos has a thing for like golden era products. MGM, an amazing collection of content to add to your streaming service. If you own MGM, I would assume that includes United Artists, because they've been talking about the James Bond dynasty is really the ones that have been dragging their heels on the deal. But it would also include Rocky too.
Yeah.
Wow.
But something about the,
doesn't MGM own HBO?
No, AT&T owns HBO.
Ah, right. I'm sorry.
And actually, that's the other bit of news recently in streaming news. Is that AT&T is going forward with combining Warner Media with this Discovery assets. And they've got something like 100 franchised properties that are joining them. So it's just going to be this behemoth. Whoever thought AT&T would be this behemoth in the streaming world? It's going to be AT&T, Amazon, and Disney. Oh, and Netflix, of course. And I guess at some point Apple will have some say, but they definitely don't have the kind of assets to compete in that space. They could buy them, but they haven't built assets that could compete with that kind of. I often wonder why companies like Apple could just dominate. They could have bought all those things, and then they would be this behemoth in the streaming world.
Doesn't it just come down to there's just ends up with two, and they're both fighting each other? Isn't that how it goes with species, you know? Battle of the species.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that's what we always watch. You watch Coke battling Pepsi, red against blue, the ultimate for dominance.
In the end, there can only be one.
Yeah. Oh, fellow sci-fi fan, did you hear that they're going to reboot Highlander?
No, I did not.
And make more, you mean?
Well, apparently the way it's written is they're talking about rebooting the story, like redoing the original Highlander movie with Henry Cavill, the guy who played the most recent Superman. He was also in one of the Mission Impossible movies. He's been in a bunch of stuff. He's been well regarded as a great actor, but they're gonna put him in the role, I guess. Or actually, no, they didn't say. It's a rumor which role he would be. I actually think he'd be better as the villain in the original story than he would be the Highlander. Who would play Sean Connery? That's another one. And he Egyptian with a Scottish accent. That was one of my favorite. It's still one of my favorite movies. It's amazing to think of how many properties came out of that. You know, they made three horrible movies afterwards, and then they had a great TV series that went on for years. I want to say like 5 to 7 years.
I thought the TV series was really quite fun.
It was good, and I think that some of the actors in that TV series was by far better actors than was in the original movie. What else do we have for today? I stuck some links into those articles in the chat if you guys are interested. They're articles from Business Insider about AT&T owning everything and the merger that they're doing between Warner Media and Discovery. I do think it's going to be interesting. What we'll end up with on an Amazon Fire TV is we'll end up with a box for AT&T, a box for Disney, a box for Netflix. I've got an article here on making Alexa your security camera, and I was thinking of Bill when I read it. It's not a great security camera. It has some real disadvantages using an Alexa. Alexa. You know, they have these new Alexa shows. Bill has an Alexa show, setting off these devices right now, aren't I? An Echo show is what I meant to say. Here, I got one on screen. This is the most recent generations look like a smart speaker that's holding a screen. These actually rotate. They have something like, I don't know, 180 degrees of mobility, move back and forth. The idea is am I remembering this right from the last, was that they've got is this the one that they can follow you as you're in a conversation? One of these can. I think it's this one. Maybe it's the Facebook one. Doesn't matter. What matters, though, is that you can't use, Bill was telling us about how he was using drop-in to kind of check out the house, look at a webcam inside the house. These screen devices have a webcam, they're a smart speaker, and they have a feature called drop-in where registered devices, you can just pop in, your face appears, like that guy from Red Dwarf, you just show up on the screen, and you're talking to whoever's in the room and listening. There's this new thing called home monitoring. You can set on the device itself, and you can, home monitoring, before you disregard it because you have too old of a device, has actually been adopted to all the devices, back to the Echo Show 5 and the Echo Show 8, the first editions of those. So the small one and the big one, all the way back to the first edition, use home monitoring. This is like a basic webcam in your room for security. This is an article that I'm flipping through right here. It talks about how to turn it on. It has to be turned on the device. You can't do it from the Alexa app. Oh, I said it again. You can't do it from the app on your phone. You actually have to go to the device itself, turn this home monitoring on. But when you turn it on, then you're able to drop in without projecting an image of yourself. So it's just whatever the screen is. The camera's on, but whatever the screen is, the screen is. You do have some other features, like you can offer to blur the image and give an audio indicator. I think drop-in allows you to do that as well. So like the first few seconds of video are blurred for the discrepancy and to be discreet with whoever's in the room, so they got time to run and put a pair of pants on. So it has that. It's called video delay and audio alert. So that exists in it. But the two big differences between this and drop-in is that you're able to do one way only, and you're able to pan the room if you have one of these newer devices. So you can, what you can't do with drop-in, if you have one of these newer devices, if you drop in, it's just sitting where it's sitting. But if you use room monitoring to look at what's happening in the room with a new device, then you can rotate the neck and you can look around the room. It still doesn't have up and down. It's only got left and right. And it's kind of a crummy security camera right now because it doesn't support recording. So it's much more like drop-in. You can see what's happening in that room, but unless you've got an app on your device you're using that can screen record what's being broadcasted to you, there's no way of motion sensing doesn't exist either. So you can't record the video in the room, and you cannot tell it to trigger when there's movement in the room. So it's lacking some real fundamental security. But if you had the need, pop into a room and you didn't want to announce yourself, this looks like the way to do it. I could not find anything that says this, but this is my assumption, is the third feature of home monitoring is that you don't have to enable drop-in. And I think that is, I haven't been able to find that anywhere, but that's the assumption that I can make. Because you have to enable drop-in on Echo devices using Amazon service, because you have to enable them, then with this, you would have the power of being able to check on that room without making it a drop-in spot, if that makes sense. I'm interested in hearing Bill and Cheryl's opinion on this, because I know Bill's been using drop-in.
We don't use drop-in that much. I played with it a bit on my, I have an Echo View, I guess it is. 5, does that sound right?
It's a View or is it a show? I was thinking it was a show.
It's a small one, 5-inch.
Five inch, yeah.
Yeah, and it works. I mean, you can check out what's going on in the room, and it does announce itself. It's a drop-in, but I'm planning on leaving it on somewhere in the, you know, in the kitchen, living room when we're away, so I can just check on the house. I'm of the opinion that the security security isn't going to be worth much. You know, if somebody kicks my door in and ravages the house, it's going to take them a half hour to do. What's the point of having a big security system? The alarms go off, sure, but what am I going to do?
Right.
But if I know there's a problem in the house, I, you know, whoever is kind of looking after my house, I can inform them and they can come and look. That's about it. You know,
I think what we're looking at with this kind of add-on is that you already have this device. If you guys haven't been familiar with the Echo Show, the idea is that you've got this smart screen attached to a smart speaker. So you can ask for things like the weather and it'll pop up the weather report and tell you about it.
Yes.
That screen is also used for communication with other people that have similar devices. And so it's got a webcam built into it so you can make video calls through it.
The other thing that happens on ours is if we tell it to play my playlist or something, most of the songs have the lyrics so that you can see where you've been singing the lyrics wrong all your life.
Well, you can tell, I'm going to put this back up on my screen. You can tell the variety of systems here. And this is like one of my favorite is that 5-inch could easily be right next to your bed. It could be your alarm clock. I think the idea is that you have bought these devices very inexpensively and you've scattered them around your house, and this repurposing just adds just a little bit more spice to what you're doing. Maybe you have a home security system, but you don't have a camera in the bedroom, and your home security system just got triggered and you're like, something's going on in my house. You can go check on the bedroom as well because they have this extra feature. I've never wanted to turn drop-in on my system. The way I understand drop-in to work is that you enable it on your device and then you give a list of contacts that are able to drop in. And I've never, there hasn't been anybody on my list of contacts that I would want just to automatically be able to hear what we're saying in the living room. So I've never wanted to turn it on. But I have been very interested in monitoring the living room at times. And with a feature like this, I wouldn't have to open it up to a system like drop-in that's really intended more for video calls. But I'd still have the ability to listen to what's going on in the living room, kind of like a child monitor. I suspect that we're going to see more features added to this. Unlike Apple, Amazon is a real history of putting unrefined features out. And I think what we're seeing is the stepping stones into a more robust security platform. They've already got it with Ring. A lot of their acquisitions already include a security platform. And I think that very shortly, we're going to have the Amazon Prime security platform, either part of being a Prime member or an additional $30 a year, you can use Prime Security, and it's going to turn all your devices into your home security. Mm-hmm. Did you guys catch on this note of how available these products are becoming, did you catch that last week if you signed up for Amazon Music, you could buy an Amazon Dot, one of those Echo Dots smart speaker for 99 cents. Hmm. So you subscribe to the music service and you buy the equipment for $1. The equipment was $49, but they make the equipment and the service, so they could just give it to you like Polaroid cameras back in the day.
So what happens if you're already a subscriber? Can you still get it for $1?
Can you resubscribe? No, I don't think you can. I think I read that specifically, that deal was not available to current subscribers. They're punishing you for having faith in them early.
Yeah, but only one of us has an account. So the other,
right?
We have the limited one. Like we have it on one device only, the music account.
Yeah, and this is the Amazon Unlimited Music subscription that they were selling. I think it was like $3.99 or $5.99 a month. I actually had it set aside, and this morning I went to see if the deal was still available, and it's gone. Yeah, I think I just deleted the topic. I'm sorry I bring it up now. I had it on my list, and I deleted it. But it fits so perfectly with Amazon devices and how they're all over your house. How easy for them to get all over your house. Well, what else do we got going on? You guys want to do some recommendations? Anybody watching, listening, reading, using, anything they would like to share with the group? Again, I set up that track page I was mentioning this morning. Did I ever get that link into our chat?
Yes. Yeah,
I think so.
Okay, good. So that's where I've been keeping track of, and we'll be keeping track of the movies and TV shows we talk about in club. But I am actually still looking for something to keep track of, applications or podcasts or books or audiobooks. And so if any of you find yourself using something to keep track of that kind of stuff, please suggest it, because I'm not sure. I'm tempted to put together a list in the Google Podcast app, but I don't think I can make it public, and that's the goal. The goal is to have a list of things that we're recommending that we can just list out in public without having to have a special account.
Well, when it comes to books, we have a group of us that belong to that Goodreads, and, mm-hmm. and you can see your friends and you can see what your friends are reading. And if your friend posts, say, you know, they can import your friends list off of Facebook. Uh-huh. So that's the one that we've kind of been using for, and it's fiction, nonfiction, it's anything printed. You can.
Do you have to have an account to look at a reading list on Goodreads?
I believe you do. Well, no, I can look at some other people's things without my own account. But in order for them to see mine and me to see them, we all created them.
Sure.
It's a free service. But anyways, Goodreads is where we do that. And I've been meaning to ask, and I keep forgetting, but now it's here and I'm going to do it now. I believe that there's an app or there's something out there that you can scan business cards into, and then it creates like a contact list or something other than your telephone's contact, but a specifically business card reader.
Like a Rolodex.
Yeah. And I think Jim's still on, but I think, Jim, you used to have one or something. Is he there?
Not this Jim.
Oh, he's muted. Oh, he's gone. No, he's there.
Well, Cheryl, in general, I can say I definitely know those kinds of apps have existed in the past, and I've helped people with them in the past, but I haven't used one in a long time. I don't know what, but I did do business card scanners. There's still devices out there to put a physical business card through to scan. And so it would, but you'd think you'd be able to do that with your phone now. I would look for a phone app in like Google Play or in the Apple App Store. I bet there's an app that is specifically. Oh.
Can I interrupt a second? I had to step away for a minute. What's this about scan biz card and so forth?
Well, Cheryl was saying she thought you used an app to keep track of business cards.
Yeah, called, I think it's Biz Scan, and I've got hundreds of them.
And is it an app on your phone?
Yeah,
that's
looking
cool.
For it right now to tell you. Yeah, it's called Scan Biz Card. One word, S-C-A-N, capital B-I-Z, capital C-A-R-D-S.
Scan Biz Card, B-I-Z. Here it is. Scan. Go ahead, Jim.
And I use something called Turbo Scan for documents, and I bet I've got 3,000 or 4,000 documents on my phone.
So 14-day free trial. Yeah, I would suspect there is a lot of competition for this out there because of the nature. What's that?
Apps, it'll do the same thing.
Yeah,
I think
it's good to have a recommendation, and you're happy with it, right? You've been using it for years.
Yeah.
Do you pay for it, or is it the free portion?
I'm sure.
Is there a free version?
It has a few cards, and a free version of TurboScan allows you to view documents, and then I probably pay $3.99 for unlimited space or something like that. I know it was so nominal that it didn't even.
Okay, the one I'm looking at, Scan Biz Card, says $1.39, and the other one is Scan Biz Cards Lite, and it just says get.
Oh, am I looking at the right thing? This is what I found. ScanBizCard.com with a 14-day free trial.
And Cheryl, I started with Lite and then went to the bigger one.
Cheryl, you're in the Apple Store?
Yes.
Sorry, Jim, I didn't mean to cut you off there.
Not a problem.
It says that it's 4 years old and it gets really good reviews.
I think I've got it on my screen now. Scan Biz Card Lite. So this is a free one?
Yeah, that's the trial version. Try it.
Oh, okay. And then they've got another one, Scan Biz Card, which obviously the one you would pay for. And it's 99 cents.
Yeah, $1.39.
Yeah, it's Canadian dollars,
that
though, right?
That would be the difference.
There's another one called Business Card Scanner and Reader. Scan and organize, and it doesn't look like it costs anything.
But again, I bet there's lots. And I bet with our phones now, you don't even need special hardware. You don't have to scan business cards. You can just take a photo of it. I bet it can OCR all the information off of a card now. We've got these high-quality lenses. How many megapixels do you need to read Sam Smith on a card?
Well, I probably true. The thing I like about it is the organization. Find it instantaneously, and I don't have servers.
Well, I also like the idea of having a separate app on the phone specifically for business card content contests. Like, oh, that guy, he gave me his card. I know exactly where to find that info.
I'm using it is, like, I have 64 years worth of acquired, you know, business cards, and I'm trying to declutter and throw out. And so, yeah, I'm looking for a card reader.
Yeah, that actually, I'm glad we're on this topic because I do that constantly. I'm cleaning up my office and I find piles of business cards, and I'm constantly on this game of, do I chuck it? I mean, I haven't called this person in years, but maybe I don't want to lose this information. Do I take the time to put it in my contact list? I've already got thousands of contacts.
That's what I want it separated. Like, I have people that I met on a trip in 1984 when I was in the South Pacific, and I found all these things when I'm cleaning up all my memorabilia. So it would be nice to have them not in my contact list because I probably will never phone them or whatever. But it's kind of nice to have from, you know, I kept the business because I met them.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say there is some kind of meta information in knowing this is a business card contact. I don't know why, but it just it feels that way. It feels like this is the list of people that hand out cards of presentation. I don't know why, but that data point makes a difference in my head than somebody I'm keeping track of in my phone as just one of my contacts. This is somebody that handed me, I don't know why, but it just makes a difference in my brain for some reason.
Yeah, how can you get back to them business or by the name?
I was going
to
say, as soon as we retired, we found out that people that travel, like snowbirds, carry personal business cards. Like Jim and Linda, the first time I met them, they gave me their business card. So when I say business card,
But no, absolutely.
Yeah.
And knowing that this is the way you've made this contact, for me at least, has some significant data point. And Jim, to answer your question, what these apps would do is they would identify the data on the card. It would look at the card and use OCR, optical character recognition, and then it would use AI to determine that's a name, that's a phone number, that's an address. And so that information would be stored right alongside it, so you could literally click on the card and make the phone call.
Well, that's exactly right.
Everybody put your business card up in the frame, you know. Let's see it. I'll find Jim and Linda's.
I'd be happy to do it. I don't have. The best I could do is this right now. I can do that.
Well, yeah, but we need one for the computer club. You know, we all need a business card. You know, so anyways, I need to organize it. But Jim, can you, instead of just having it sort by the business names or the types, could you put it like personal or the trip you met them on? Can you put information onto it?
Yeah. In other words, you can store it in different categories. I have a category of credit cards, all of our credit cards, Linda's, mine, Jason's, Janet, everybody. So that if something happens and I need that information and the other person's not around, I have it. And all of that information is imported into fields so that if I'm a large data, I'm looking up Juan TV Serv, you know, I can find Juan's business card. I can't even remember his last name, but it'll instantly come up so that you can sort by any keyword that on the card.
The credit card thing makes me a little nervous. Do you feel comfortable with the security of the app that you're using?
Yeah. But you know what, Scott? The fact that I feel comfortable with it is probably not a real strong recommendation. Better if you felt comfortable with it.
Altogether too comfortable in a general sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, like LastPass, aside from Linda saying they were hacked recently, would have given me the comfort to put credit cards in it because they have good encryption that's been vetted. And most the times that they've had, they're a large target, LastPass, very well known. So they get targeted all the time. I haven't seen a compromise yet with them that wasn't an implementation problem. And as far as their encryption goes, the way they've implemented the encryption is sound. And so I would feel comfortable putting credit cards in it. But I don't know about BizCard Scanner for 99 cents in the App Store if I felt comfortable putting my credit card into that. But I lack any knowledge other than what we've gleaned from you today here. either. So I have no idea. It might be really well vetted.
Well, why don't you take a good hard look at it and get back to us? Yeah. I would like to know.
You know, another one I would trust is the Apple Wallet. I mean, if you really wanted to carry around your credit cards in a digital form, the Apple Wallet should be very secure. You're using Apple devices. Have good encryption. I mean, that's what it's all about, is keeping all your credit cards right there.
I just make photocopies of all my credit cards, driver's license, kept a couple photocopies so that we could, in case we were to lose them or we went on a trip and something happened to our credit card, at least I had them.
Yep, good idea.
I feel safer doing that than putting them on my phone or something.
I photographed the back of my credit card so that I could call them if I lose the card.
Yeah, front and back.
That's good.
The front has the number. I just didn't want to have that floating around in my phone.
Well, actually, the Capital One card, the number's on the back. On the bank card, the number's on the back.
Oh, he meant the card number, not the telephone number.
No.
I think Linda means the card number's on the back, too. Is that what you're saying, Linda? Is on both the front and the back?
No. The front of the Venture card only has your name.
Oh, that's interesting.
Hello?
And the back has the card number, the signature thing, which nobody uses,
yep.
The valid, the date, and your security code, and the phone number.
That's interesting.
So, you know, if you've got your card out in front of somebody at a cash register, nobody can see the number.
I wonder how much concern we really have. Like, credit card numbers are stolen all the time. We're not aware of it. Credit card companies have insurance to cover their losses. They're so good about holding you. You're never responsible for thefts of your credit card. And they try and make it as painless as possible for you to continue to use credit afterwards. I mean, I just taking pictures of your credit cards, is that really a security risk in this day and age? We used to argue about whether we should have to give out our social security numbers, and now they're all over the place. I don't know how much the credit card companies have worked really hard in their field to make you feel comfortable using credit. It's hard. I don't know anybody that's gotten burned by a credit card. Do you guys know anybody that's gotten hurt because their credit card got stolen, other than the inconvenience of having to get another card?
No.
Credit ratings never been thrashed. People haven't been held accountable for unauthorized purchases. Most credit card companies will send you out a credit card very quickly, so you don't have to go without credit very long, like oxygen. Or at least that's how it is in the United States. I assume it's that way everywhere.
Yeah,
because that's the way it is in the United States. Like oxygen. How could you live without credit?
Well, I had my credit card from my bank compromised. I still had the card in my hand, but there were things going on. And I just phoned them and I told them that it was denied in a restaurant and I wanted to know what was going on. And when I looked online, there were these charges of places where I'd never been. Yeah, they just had me fill in all the information and they reported it and they took all of the charges. They denied all of the charges and I financially was never affected. They did have to get a whole new bank login and I had to change all of my, because it was linked to my credit card that was on my bank account. So they had to send me new credit card, but I also had to get a new ID card. So it would have been a problem if we were away because
absolutely.
Real pain. We were traveling, but we were still in the same country and we were home the next week. So I was able to go into, you know, a bank and get it all done. But it would have been a huge hassle if we'd been in Mexico.
Good reason to have two banks.
Yeah.
It's a good reason to have a credit card that's not joined together. That one was. And so my credit card is compromised at the same time. We now have at least one credit card each that is separate from each other. So if one gets dinged, then the other one still works.
Mm, good thinking, Bill.
That's a good idea.
It went along with a lot of swearing about my credit card not working anymore.
Again, when we're talking about these things, I think that's really the security we're talking about is what the threat is, the inconvenience of not having credit at that moment. It's nothing else. That's everything else is security that you're performing so that the credit card companies lose less money when they're stolen from.
Right. You hear stories about people that had their bank accounts, whatever, and that they lost money and they lost personal ID kind of fraud. fraud, but not usually from a credit card. It's usually from other information that you've put out there.
I'm not a big fan of using a debit card for anything, yeah, because I figure a bad person, an individual or a program, could wipe my bank account out faster than I could justify what was happening.
Well, we used to have bank cards that were just basically for us to use in ATMs, and they changed them into debit/credit cards. And I said, but I did not ask for that, and I do not want that. Tough. That's the way it is. You know, so that's unfortunate. But we never use those cards in that way. But
that's right. I don't recommend it. I don't know if they get the same security practices as the credit cards do when you've used a bank card that is a Visa debit card. I'm assuming they get the same kind of insurance and the same kind of security. But at the same time, until then, what they've done is taken all the cash out of my bank.
Yeah.
Like all of a sudden, balance is at zero and I'm trying to solve this problem.
Well, I don't do automatic monthly payments. I don't allow somebody else, another company, whatever, to just automatically take. Because we've seen problems with like utility bills, errors being made and people, you know, ending up paying $1,200 on when they expected to.
She froze. Rather, Bill, are you still with us? Oh, Bill's with us. Okay, there she is. You're back, Cheryl.
Oh, I didn't know that I left. Okay.
Yes, you did.
Yeah. Well, when you're talking about utility bills being paid with mistakes, you got to feel sorry for the people in Texas after that ice storm with the utility bills they wound up with.
Oh, yeah. Right. No, that was crazy. Thousands and thousands of dollars.
Did they ever sort that out, or are they actually liable for that amount of money?
I haven't heard any recent news on it. We do meme news now. Like things like that generate viral interest, and then nobody cares afterward.
Yeah.
So they're probably living in a barrel without any clothes. Nobody cares anymore. It's not on the internet.
That's right.
They just moved into a box down the road.
It's gone off Twitter. Who cares?
Yeah, who cares? They're gone. Next interesting thing, please.
Yeah, well, there we go.
Anybody bring any other? Well, you know, we never did recommendations. We digressed all the way over to credit cards from recommendations.
Cheryl's fault. She started.
We started talking about books and collections, and then ended up on business cards, and then made our way to credit cards. Anybody's looking for a logical map, this is the reason robots will not replace the human.
Well, the track. You know, you asked for data somehow to keep track. And that's
yes, absolutely.
Anyways, we watched Ford and Ford versus Ferrari. Watched it together this week. And Bill, you wondered, what was that really? What happened? Does anybody know?
My question was, did they finish three across the line at the end? Is that a true anecdote?
You know, I didn't Google it. I just made the assumption it has to be, because who wouldn't Google that?
Yeah.
Right. Well, like you're making this movie and you're gonna have a big ending like that, and it's gonna be bullshit. I don't think so. You'd have every Chevy owner out there going, nah, that's not how that happened.
And I guess my question is this a genre? Is it docudrama? What is this genre that you know, the Ford versus Ferrari, the different ones that we watch that are stories about people that were involved in Black Lives Matter. Is this a new, it's not a documentary because they're actually acting like the people that One Night in Miami, you know? So
right, they've taken liberties. It's really odd, isn't it? I like docudrama, but I don't think that encompasses it in its entirety. Because this could have been everything that happened outside of the races could be completely fictional. It's just some interpretation of what their history was. But the races have to be true because people are going to look that stuff up. They're going to see who won that race and what car blew up and what happened with the brakes being too hot and all that stuff.
Yeah. So in novels, we call it historical fiction. But, you know, it is something that I'm finding out during our COVID watching that I'm really quite intrigued by them. So the other one that I watched was the one about RBG in her early days. And it was
the documentary.
A Matter of Sex. Sex. It's a movie, and I think I watched it on Netflix, maybe.
It's there on Netflix.
Yeah, I think
it, that was a really interesting one for me. Well, and there was one more that we watched this week.
That was a good movie. I found it interesting just because she's such a public figure, and her, I found her history interesting to learn her history. She's such a controversial figure in her positions, and then you find out, well, not really. She's kind of a conservative lady all the way from the beginning. She just got herself into a position where she's fighting this conservative or this controversial issue. I found it very interesting.
Right. Well, it's a term that we're also talking about with our book club, but it's modern feminism. And RBG, you know, she was trying to make it in law, but because she was female, she had problems at Harvard. You know, there were just different things about that.
But that story made it seem like even the female thing was kind of secondary to her goal, right? Like that, it just worked out that way. I mean, she's definitely a feminist in that respect. But her concern was more for the freedoms of the law, and this woman issue fits right in with that.
Accidental feminism, yes.
That's what it felt like, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good way to say it, accidental feminism.
And it was also the younger generation. It was in her daughter's eyes. It was important to her to be seen in a certain way. And I think that women have that all the time. You know, in your mother's eyes, in your daughter's eyes, what are we doing?
Right. Right. Is this what you want to teach your next generation? This is okay. Or is this the time to change it?
Well, even our stepson, you know, he looks at his daughter and he wants to know how to teach her, you know, self-protection, but also to be a strong and stand up for yourself. You know, like, yeah, it's a whole issue for parents, for you about your own self.
Yeah.
But that was an interesting one. And the Ford versus Ferrari was interesting for both of us. And like I say, there was another series that I watched, but I can't remember what it was. Well, I'm into some TV shows that have been on, and Equalizer is one that was on. And I like the premise that there's going to be a vigilante out there standing up for the people that the crooked cops are, you know. Only the person they cast in it is Queen Latifah. And I'm afraid that when Queen Latifah, you know, looks at you seriously and says, it's all about my family, and she's trying to be tough, all I hear is the comedy kind of coming out of her. It's just not working for me. And finally, the series ended the other night, and I thought, thank God, I don't have to be committed to doing this. But anyways, The Equalizer is out there, and I do not recommend.
Well, I'll put that on the not recommended list.
This is a sign of things that happen in this house. You know, Cheryl is watching a series that she absolutely hates, but she's not going to stop watching it for some reason. I'm not sure why, but she comes to bed at 2 o'clock in the morning muttering about the stupid show. A quick note. I looked up Ford versus Ferrari on Wikipedia, and it turns out it was somewhat similar to the movie. Is not quite accurate, but it's very. I think two of the cars passed the finish line. The other Ford was further back, but it did finish third.
Well,
a quick read on the information. So,
well, Bill, that's what the story said too in the movie. You remember that they didn't count him as coming in first, because he started from behind, or he started from a different position.
The other Ford was 20 meters down the start line. So, yeah, Hume or whatever it was, Bulldog is the guy that he got cheated out of the win because he played by, you know, did what they wanted.
Wait for him and to come across. And when he did that, I'm sorry, we're totally spoiling this movie. If you're hoping for a surprise ending, you all know what it is now.
But did the guy that screwed him over, did the Ford guy that hated him, I think because the kid touched his car, did he actually know that was going to happen and he really screwed up, or was it, oops?
Yes, it says the guy knew that was going to happen.
Oh, what a bugger.
He was a scumbag. He played a really good scumbag. Movie was full of actors too. Yeah, there was a lot of, I was surprised at how many actors I knew were in that movie, because it sure wasn't marketed that way.
Yeah, they should have actually given that Bulldog his spanner wrench back at that moment.
Right.
That's when he should have reclaimed it.
Yeah. I've come with some, has anybody else come with some recommendations? I come with a couple. Anybody else want to add to our list? Linda, you got something?
No.
Jim?
I'm going to say goodbye.
Oh. Okay.
Bye.
See you next week, Linda.
Okay. A Call to Spy. It's World War II. Netflix. Oh. A Call to Spy.
I talked about that one before. And okay. What did you guys think?
Oh, we enjoyed it. And then we did watch the Spy, the series, six episodes. And it was with Sacha Baron Cohen doing a very sort of, he wasn't his usual Borat self, you know.
Wait, what are you talking about?
It's a series called just Spy.
Spy. I haven't heard of it.
S-P-Y. And it's a six piece series on Netflix. Steal Me a Pencil. Anybody see that one?
Steal Me a Pencil. I've never heard of that either.
Holocaust.
Is that a series?
It's in it's about the Holocaust, and it's a movie. Steal Me a Pencil. It's about life in Nazi Germany, and people are incarcerated, and so stealing a pencil was like a big crime situation. Cool. What's it? The Pianist, World War II movie.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, okay. Croupier.
You're gonna have to spell that, Jim.
Croupier. Croupier.
Oh, poupere.
No, croup with a C.
C R U P E R
I I E R I E R. Croupier en français. And it's a British drama. Okay, and then I also have an Aussie drama, Ladies in Black. It's anybody who watched Selfridge? Do you remember the series about people working in a store in New York? Anyway,
okay.
But this one is Australia.
Ladies in Black.
Australia, and the ladies in black, they wear black because they work in a store. So that's they're not nuns or something like that. And,
all right, Jim, I just have to reconfirm with you. These are movies that you think we should watch, right?
Well, these are all ones that Carolyn and I have given four stars, you know.
Oh, excellent. And Traitors, I haven't heard of any of these.
And Traitors, it's a British spy.
Traitors. Is that a series?
I can't really remember whether it was a series or a one-off, but I just went to our list of previously watched on Netflix, picked these up.
Ah, okay.
We also love Love Song for Bobby Long, but of course everybody's seen that. Love Song for Bobby Long?
I don't think I've seen it.
No.
Absolutely remember it well. It was awesome.
Yeah, it was a good movie. Yeah, that's why when I saw it, even though I've been around for a while, I put it in there anyway. Well, there's a few. That's Steal
Me.
Thank
you, Jim. That's
Steal
great.
Me a Pencil was great. And I see that at World War II and Holocaust seems to be a theme in my watching.
In your watch history there. Recommended Devastation from the 1940s.
That's right.
I got one comment. That is not a recommendation, but I ran across Cannonball Run the other day, and I started watching it. There are so many stars in that thing, you can't keep up with it.
Yeah.
I mean, he was like, oh, who's that? And you have to go to IMDb, just figure out who the hell it is. You know?
Yeah.
They got stars falling out of cars in that. Huh.
As a comedy, it reminds me of the what's the action movie that has all the action stars in it? The Expendables? Is that the name of? But it's got Stallone, it's got Arnold Schwarzenegger, it's got Jason Statham. It's just got everybody. It's got Bruce Willis in it. It's like and they made like three of these movies. The Expendables, I think, is the name of it.
So, Bill, what's the name of that again? Cannonball
Run.
Classic movie from my youth.
Again, a semi-documentary, because that is a real. It was a real race. The race basically was from a hotel or a restaurant in New York to a hotel in California.
Yeah.
You could. They didn't care how you got there. You had to be driving. It had to have wheels. Didn't care how you got there. You just had to be the person getting the shortest time. And they didn't really care what you thought of the speed limit.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I ran across one of these memes the day after saying, you are the main character of the last movie you watched. And I said, oh, yeah, Burt Reynolds with
not Dom DeLuise.
That's my sidekick. Dom DeLuise as the sidekick and the Raquel Welch as your love interest. My God, who can ask for anything more?
You know, I just Googled this and I forgot Jackie Chan was in that movie.
Jackie Chan as Japanese. Yeah. he's in there as an Oriental Japanese. Right. I figured he really loved that one. Dean Martin, same Davis Jr. Kendall.
There you go. So, that is going. That's going on the recommended list because I enjoy that film. And you know what? Genre, it made me think of another movie I remember called The Gumball Rally.
Gumball Rally is another one. And it's very similar to, what is it, Around the World in 80 Days, you know, and they have all these stars that do walkthroughs in it. And you can never figure out who the hell they all are.
Bill, what was the name of the one that bought the squirrel?
Oh, you mean with Whoopi Goldberg? And
yeah.
Is that Gumball Rally? No.
No, it's another one in the Nevada.
John Cleese. I don't know. I'd have to look it up.
Well, I think I'm going to run off and go and watch some TV or do chores that Carolyn sets for me. So have a good day, guys.
Yeah. All right, Jim. We'll see you next week, hopefully.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for the recommendation.
Go take care of your honey-do list.
Okay, I got two recommendations.
Two, because I'm going to go and meet Jim's wife and the other Jim's wife and everybody in my book club in about 5 minutes. So I'm out of here.
All right, Cheryl, have a good book club. Right now. I got two recommendations, and then we can call it a meeting, unless you guys got more you want to talk about.
I've got one.
Oh, Fred, you go ahead.
Okay.
What do you got?
It's called World on Fire.
Is it a show or a movie?
It's a series.
Okay.
Miniseries.
Yeah.
It's on public broadcasting.
PBS, okay.
And the other one I had was The Tunnel.
The Tunnel, the TV show.
No, it's a series also, and it's on PBS, and it's both in English and dubbed French.
Now, you're saying there's both a TV show and a movie of The Tunnel?
Well, there's a series called The Tunnel, and it's on public broadcasting.
Okay.
And it...
this is between... why did
channel?
This is... there's a murder on the tunnel on the line between France and England. And
that's
half
right.
The body is on France, and half the body is in England. And the French
right.
people are speaking French, and it has English subtitles on that. And it's interesting. It's different. Let's put it that way.
I'm trying to remember. I think this story, isn't this the inspiration for a series? I'm trying to remember the name of it. That was between Mexico and the United States. Ridge? Is that right?
Yeah,
the exact same.
The
oh, hey, Pop.
Hi. That was the bridge.
It was the bridge? I'm trying to remember if that was inspired by this, the tunnel.
That was a Scandinavian bridge with inspired Mexican.
Look at that. We got an English, French one, a Scandinavian one, and an American, Mexican one. All whose jurisdiction should it be?
That's what it was about.
So, Fred, we got them all? Are you still there?
Yes, that's all.
I'm going to put the bridge in there as well. We enjoyed that show. I'll put that on dating. Okay, I brought two. One is obviously a sci-fi because that's what I do. The other is a documentary. The sci-fi is a new series on Netflix called Jupiter's Legacy. Now, the promotions for this make it really look like a superhero costume show. But this is a really interesting show in that it's got four subplots going on, and one of them is happening in the 1920s. The other three subplots are kind of dumb. They're all happening in present day, and they are absolutely superheroes fighting supervillains. But the last subplot, the one that's happening in the past, is the origin story. And the origin story, I found myself watching this show every episode, aching for more origin story. I kept wanting to go back to the 1920s. It was like, it was one of these treasure hunting kind of steamship expedition to Secret Island. And one of the things that becomes very apparent while you're watching this is if we're having this story to introduce these characters, then the characters we're watching are easily 100 years old because they're in their 20s and 30s on this expedition. And they are the principal characters in the here and now. So I found, as a sci-fi comic book heroes kind of guy, I found it a little dry. I didn't feel like the superhero story had a lot to it, but I kept finding myself just intrigued with the backstory of these characters, and they wouldn't give you anything. I mean, you were aching to watch the next episode because you just needed some more of what was going on this journey. How did these people get together? There's this whole hearing voices and vision quest that's going on that this one man has led this group of people on this adventure. And I really felt that could have been a show. all by itself. You could have cut out the other two-thirds or three-quarters of this of these plots, and you would have had a great expedition to a secret island that resulted in power. That would have been awesome to watch. I don't know if any of you watched it, but Jupiter's Legacy, that's what it's called. And then the other is a documentary, and it's called The Crime of the Century. It's on HBO Now right now. And this is a documentary that talks about the history of Purdue Pharma and their role in the opium crisis. And it's just amazingly in-depth. It's lots of interviews with people that were pharmaceutical reps that were out there selling OxyContin, and the way this family was involved in the organization and how they would promote the use of OxyContin. It goes into the history of pain management and the way that they infiltrated the training doctrines of how to treat patients and how pain management became, how pain in the 70s got turned into one of those critical, what do they call it? Like when you're being taken care of, they check your vitals. It was considered one of your vitals is where's your pain management. I'm sure if you've ever been in an ER, they'll ask you a question, what's your pain at? 10 being the very worst you've ever felt. And you have that came directly out of this time period where they had come up with opiates, they could use them for pain, and the idea was to sell pain management as a health aid. It's called The Crime of the Century. It's two parts, and it was really enlightening to the whole rise of the Purdue family. And that's all I got. Is anybody still with me? Did I bore everybody? Paul's still there?
You are never boring, Scott.
Oh, thank you, Bill.
Sometimes you put us to sleep, but you're never boring.
Well, hey, we are vastly over whatever time we allow for these meetings.
2 hours. All the time.
It seems like that's what we're allowing for the meetings, isn't it?
I think what we're going to have to do is split it up and do like Tuesday, Thursday or something, you know, so we have a shorter time.
That's right. Well,
gives me something to look forward on Thursday. Besides
2 one-hour meetings. Maybe we should have a meeting just dedicated to recommended movies.
Exactly. I looked up the movie that Cheryl was asking about. It had Whoopi Goldberg and a whole bunch of stars in it as well. It was Rat Race.
Rat Race. I remember seeing that. Aren't they looking for treasure or something?
No, it's a group of very rich people in Las Vegas that stage a race for $1 million in some other, you know, some other town, city. And again,
gotcha.
you have to get there by any means possible. First one there, they got Mr. Bean. Who's Mr. Bean?
Oh yeah, Black Adder.
Anyway, he's got narcolepsy, so he falls asleep occasionally. You know, the whole thing is just one laugh after another. Laugh. Anyway, it's if you like that kind of movie with lots of stars in it, it's a good one. It's good light entertainment. You're not going to be depressed when you leave this movie.
Scott, you got a couple minutes after everybody signs off?
Sure. Yeah. Why don't I get back to you after we've signed everybody off?
Okay.
I'm leaving. Check on.
All right. Bye-bye. Everybody, have a great week. See you next Tuesday. Until then, check on next Tuesday. Bring your recommendations, your topics. See you, Fred. See you, Jim. See you, Dave. Pop, why don't you just stay online and I'm going to shut this down real quick. Where am I? Here I am. Hello, this is Scott Stimson from International Computer Solutions and the San Carlos Computer Club here every Tuesday talking tech topics with people that matter. You can be one of those people. These meetings are open to anyone, so please feel free to join us at any time. If you're out there on the internet trying to solve computer problems, I can probably help you remotely. So send me an email, remote@internationalcs.net. Until next Tuesday, you guys have a great week and tech on.
Scott Stimson is awesome.